IVM.
Folks, welcome to Paisa Paisa presented by Cred, the most rewarding credit card bill payments app and powered by Quarter. I'm your host Anupam Gupta, B50 on Twitter, and my guest, veteran journalist, writer, author, speaker, and pretty much what I regard the gold standard on personal finance in India, Monica Halan. Folks, if you've not got her book, if you've not read her book, it's called Let's Talk Money. Honestly, I don't know what you're waiting for. You know, just go to your, you know, whichever website or bookstore, just buy it, read it, and I would say even gift it. I can't think of a more comprehensive India-specific guide on managing your money than Let's Talk Money, the book by Monica Halan. And we're going to talk about all of that and much more right after this short credit convenience break, and we'll be right back on the other side. Monica, welcome to Paisa Paisa. What an honor to have you. Thank you so much for doing this for our listeners.
Thank you, Anupam. What a fantastic intro. And I love the book plug. Thank you so much. Delighted to be here. I mean, you've set the gold standard for podcasts in India on personal finance. Thank you. I'm a regular listener. So absolutely back at you.
I'll tell you why I like it, Monica. You know, this is not just... See, you know how advice in India works and how selling of financial products in India works. It's whatever you hear from people, it's not exactly, you know, it's not exactly unbiased or independent. Some of it is, some of it isn't. And in my conversation with a lot of people, that's the one stumbling block they have when they listen to advice is trust. Folks, we're going to talk about that. And just before that, one small big thank you, of course, to Saurabh Mukherjee of Marcellus, lead author of the book, Let's the Victory Project, the guy who got us together. So Saurabh, if you're listening, thank you very much. Okay, Monica, your book, Let's Talk Money, published in 2018, went on to become a bestseller, and 2018 and 2021. The world has really changed. And it's great to see that you have a revised edition for 2021, right? Let's start there. What's new in the revised edition?
Anupam, you're right. It's really 2020 changed a lot of the way that we think about the incomes that we have and the future that we might or might not have. So one key change that I have actually put in is to increase the kind of emergency fund requirements that you might have. So we've traditionally said 6 months to a year, but for certain situations where your income could be at risk, look, you could be in a sector, like for instance, you work for the government, you have fair certainty that unless you really rile people the wrong way and you've done something really wrong, your income is secure, your job is secure, you will get your pension. But there are very high risk sectors. For instance, as the pandemic hit, the high risk sectors were hospitality, airlines, a lot of professions which are service driven. And we didn't know how India would actually bounce back. This whole enterprise would kick in and we would see the kind of delivery systems that we did. But at the top of the pandemic, that is what my thought was, that there are very high risk industries and sectors, and people who work there should secure themselves. So my advice changed from 1 year to saying, specific to your situation, you should go up to 2 years, and especially people in their 50s. See, people in their 50s are at risk because their income levels are very high, cost to company is high. And if they lose their jobs at that stage, then they're still some distance away from retirement, and yet they might not be fully prepared. So for people like them, they have a lot of the assets. So move some of that into more liquid emergency buckets. So that was clearly one. Second was asset allocation. And I have to share a personal story because, you know, people like you and me think we know markets well, etc. I found myself over-invested in equity, and my only regret March 2020 was that I didn't have more in my debt to rebalance at that point. So even people who think they know a lot should be very, very certain about their asset allocation and go on rebalancing as markets change. So two main things that really get your emergency fund in place, make it adequate, make it liquid, and asset allocation are not just two words, but they have deep meanings on your financial stability and opportunity as well. Because if you have it right, when markets tank, you can actually go ahead and buy at low, low valuations.
Important. And talking about people who know a lot, what's changed since 2018 is almost everyone now has become a stock market expert. Okay, so if you're, you know, I had this conversation. It's good that more people are getting to learn about stock markets, and that's absolutely fine. You know, if that makes you a better investor, if that makes you a better manager of your own money, I'm the happiest guy on the road. You know, so but Monica, what's your view? This pandemic boom in investors, traders, demat accounts have been open, brokerage accounts have been open, social media is all full of the next big thing, and now equities is the future. So let's just talk on that for a while.
You know, Anupam, I just feel when stand-up comedians start handing out financial advice, then somewhere there is a little bit of a problem on who's consuming it and what manner they will act. So there is an environment of get rich quick, which is also fueled by the way that cryptocurrency behaved last year. And there is a whole new generation of very young investors who obviously have not been through crashes of, say, 2008. And old folks like me who saw the Harshad Mehta scam are obviously, we are in the minority in this market right now. But for somebody who's seen these three, four large, very scary market dips and cycles, we know that markets go up and down. For some of these, I have to call them kids who are entering the market right now, it's just euphoria. So there will be a blowout because markets go up and down. And there will be people who will get their fingers burnt. But having tasted some of the returns, I'm hoping that this the early errors will allow them to make more rational, mature decisions along the way. And the good thing is that these young folks have a very long runway to recover from the disaster when it does hit them. So it is certain that there will be events which they are not thinking about today. Markets are never a one-way run. But should they be hit at a future date, that runway ahead of them to recover is large enough. And my only wish and hope for them is that they don't turn off markets fully, because that has been the reaction of some folk a couple of decades back, that they would blame the markets rather than their own actions. But understand how to deal with markets, how to invest. That is my wish for them, that when that event happens, learn from your mistakes and do a more mature investment-oriented, take a more investment-oriented approach rather than a gambling and let's get rich quick approach.
Isn't that true? I mean, I remember the Harshad Mehta days and what happened after that, and everybody got just, you know, stock market is a gambling, you know, gambler's den, and just avoid it, and there's no logic in stock market. You've got chapter 8 in your book on equity, okay? And the first two lines is something I'm going to read to the audience now. The most misunderstood of all asset classes, stocks, are not a lottery where some people get luck. There is a math and science and a way to take risk. Before I go to the next question, Monica, I just want you, you know, I want you to just explain this in whatever way you can to our listeners. Just repeat the line for our listeners again. The most misunderstood of all asset classes, stocks, are not a lottery where some people get lucky. There is a math and science and a way to take risk safely.
Yes, because again, you and I have both heard how people look at the stock market and say they really think that it is a lottery, it's a roulette machine, it's a gambling den. And if you pick the right stocks, and whether you do technical analysis, whether you pick penny stocks, or whether you listen to some channels and pick the next winner, there is an opportunity to get rich without doing anything, without doing much. And this is the mindset which I have warned against here, saying that your impression of the stock market has been created by looking at, you know, TV channels who are geared primarily at speculators and day traders. And not for a moment am I saying that speculators and traders are bad people or they do work which is not useful. It is because of speculators and day traders, retail investors, long-term retail investors like me are able to find the liquidity in the market. So not for a moment should I be misunderstood to say that they are not important people. All that I have always said is that figure out who are you? Are you a day trader, speculator, or are you a long-term investor? Are you a doctor, lawyer, software engineer? Who are you? And then decide which road you want to take. So should you think that I am actually a professional who enjoys my work and I'm investing, then this day trading, trying to get rich quick is not for you. The stock market offers opportunities for all categories of people. And should you identify yourself as a long-term retail investor, then the stock market has a math and a science and an art where for taking, you can get equity exposure in your portfolio at a lower risk level than identifying a few stocks or doing some technical analytics would possibly allow you to. And that, of course, I'm referring to basic entry level products like index funds, where you are literally riding the broad market index, be it Sensex or Nifty, and you are simply allowing the movements of the market to reflect on your portfolio. It's a very low cost, low risk, very long-term approach, Anupam.
Yeah, of course. And it's also a good way to stay invested in the equity story of India. And that was, in fact, going to be my next question before we go into the break, Monica. A lot of experts, and you know, you've also, like you said, you've seen this market since the Harshad Mehta era, and not just the market, the broader economy in India develop, you know, go from 1990 to where we are now, 20, 30 years. And veterans who've seen that entire cycle play out, now they're saying that the next decade is an equity boom, at least for the stock markets, because the economy will probably do well. And so, you know, economy does well, market does well, just like we had in 2003. You know, so 2021, 2003, I'm sure you've also been part of those discussions. Could you give your views on that?
Yeah. So Anupam, unfortunately, a lot of the conversation in India is polarized on political grounds. So if you think that Modi doesn't deserve to be where he is, you think India is going to implode and everything is bad and farmers are getting killed and minorities have a, you know, so everything is just bad. And then there are people on the other side who everything is just good. I think most of us are in the middle where we are saying a lot of good stuff has actually happened. We need to open our eyes and see the kind of reforms which have happened in the last few years. And so 91 were the entry of reform in India. For 30 years, we have eaten the fruits of that reform. Now, if we didn't do the kind of reforms that we have done over the past few years, and these have been politically very tough reforms for any government to do, be it GST, be it bankruptcy, be it giving teeth to Benami, very few governments would have taken the political decision to do what this government has done. They've taken decisions which hurt a lot in the short term, but are actually paving the way for a takeoff. So that is one part of the story, that we've done very tough reform. Yes, there is no reform which is going to be 100% well-established and efficient. There are going to be glitches on the way, but we've bitten that bullet. The second story, which everybody seems to be missing, is the buoyancy in agriculture. There are 800 agri-tech startups which have got set up in the last few years. There are startups using drone technologies to map crops so that it can feed into InsurTech. The number of agri startups have gone up more than 100% over last year. And it's more than startups in certain other sectors. Other than a few non-farmers at the borders of Delhi, the rest of the agriculture in India is in a buoyant mood, wanting to participate in markets, wanting to use options as insurance, they're looking at the NCDX tickers to forecast soya prices, and wanting to participate as stake owners and not people to whom doles are handed out. Now, can you imagine if in 4 or 5 years, if agri-tech begins to come to the stock market for listing, Anupam, what do you think happens to the breadth and the depth of the Indian stock market? So all I can say is, if people are thinking that 50,000, 55,000 Sensex is scary, you should remember old people like us who saw the markets at 2,000, 4,000, 5,000, 10,000, 15,000. And at every stage, I was told as a reporter who reported on some of these things, that it's too high. The market is too high. For some reason, people always think market is too high. So don't look at the value of the Sensex at 55,000. look at the growth which lies ahead. And I have no doubt that the next decade is a decade of growth, Anupam.
I like that positive note. And on that positive note, folks, we're going to take a small credit convenience break. My guest, Monica Allen, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about specific tips about how to handle your money. And welcome back to this really special episode of Paisa Vaisa. My guest, Monica Allen. Monica, straight question from the preface of your revised edition. What has the pandemic taught us about money? Right in the first, you know, the opening to this episode, we spoke about how you should have an emergency fund. You should, you know, get your asset allocation right. When you talk about our relationship with money, the way that we look at it, you know, what has this pandemic taught us? And can you talk about some of these for our listeners?
Anupam, it's been both. It's been an understanding of how important money is really, because that really was, you know, having that money was the differentiator on whether you could ride out the pandemic or not, or get medical treatment or not. And also completely on the other side, the futility of the money, because people had all the money that they might have had, but if they had a bad case of corona, people died in their 20s, 30s, 40s. So the fact that death can come at any point, I think it brought death very close into our homes, because I don't think there's been a single family who's been left untouched, either within the family or the extended family or close friends. So somewhere I think it's also that, what is this money for and how am I dealing with the money that I have? So both the things of the importance and the non-importance of money, both I thought was brought home to us.
There's one very important topic, Monica, and you've touched upon this in your blog. Folks, if you don't know Monica Allen's blog, please just Google it. It's called Monica Allen's blog. It's on WordPress. And there's a post out here dated to June 1st, 2021. Monica, I'm getting this here because I think you should probably explain this in a bit to our listeners. The post is called Post-Death Money Trail, Creating the If I Die Before You File. And no, the opening line itself says it, that this is a bit morbid, but extends your duty of care even when you are not there anymore. Now, this is a very uncomfortable thing to talk about. I know that I would probably be, you know, more emotional than rational while talking about this. Can you just, you know, either summarize the post or give some kind of an idea to our listeners about why this is so important and how they should go about doing it?
Yeah, it's one of those wonders of the world. In fact, in the Mahabharata, there's this famous episode when Yudhishthir has lost all his brothers to the Yaksha's questions. And then the Yaksha asks him, which is the biggest surprise in this world? And he says, Yudhishthir says that the fact that we know, while we know that we will die, but we act as if we won't. And that is really true of all of us, that when life is there, we are so busy living it that we completely disregard the fact that it takes a peanut down the wrong pipe in your throat to kill you. It's as little as that, that it can kill you. So we are uncomfortable also talking about death to our loved ones, because somewhere we feel we don't want to trigger that event. We are uncomfortable talking to death, especially to our aging parents, because we don't want them to think that we're after their assets. What COVID brought very close home, and again, through phone calls, through messages, which came to, I think, most of us who are in this sector, we realized that people had left complete blank behind for the family, because they thought they were going to live for many more years. So, and this is something that I have done personally over the years. And I think it is because when a woman does finances at home, then her duty of care somewhere extends far beyond her. And this is something that I have obsessively done over the years, thinking that suppose, you know, you get hit by a truck or something, nobody will know anything about where I have invested, where the papers are, what the passwords are right now. I mean, if you don't know the password, then you're locked out. So the idea is just to create a file, to imagine actually that you're dead, especially if you're in the position of power of handling money in the household. And that is really your duty to do if you are the person handling money, is to create that file, which if somebody, your spouse or your child, were to open, they would be able to piece together the entire financial assets, location, paperwork, You should be very, very seriously careful about putting nominations onto bank accounts, fixed deposits on your DMAT account, in your mutual fund investments. The list of which all bank accounts are there, all the details. So that documentation is extremely important. You can do it digitally, but I fear sometimes on putting this out in a cloud or somewhere where it can get hacked. Making a physical file has its own danger, so you've got to guard it with your life. And it's a good idea to let your spouses or children know where that location of that file is. But yes, it's an uncomfortable topic, but I don't understand why it should be. We take our lives and ourselves far too seriously, or not at all. So yeah, we are going to die, and people who are close to us are going to die. Whether it'll happen right now or after 30 years, 40 years, we don't know. But it's a good idea to be prepared. That's it. So it's a little non-emotional look at death. It's devastating. We've all had episodes in our house, and that emotional hurt will never go away. But can we just prepare so that that financial burden is not too much? That is my only ask of people, that don't leave a mess behind for your loved ones.
It's tough. I mean, and you know, being a journalist, I'm sure you would know about hundreds, thousands of crores lying in this unclaimed in shares.
That's right. I think it's how much? 50 lakh crore? I know it's a big number.
Some crazy
absurd number.
Yeah.
Correct.
Imagine that. And that's actually someone's money.
Someone's money. Somebody whose wife or kids needed that money.
Yeah. I'm not even talking about disputes. That is a totally different topic. But folks, you need to really think about this one and then figure out in whichever way or form you want to do this. But like I said, Monica's blog has a very extensive post on first. So let's move on to slightly happier topics, Monica. In the bull market, everyone wants the best way to build. Okay, my portfolio should double and I should beat the Nifty and I should do this. Two questions for you. Why is this wrong? And second, you start your book with the importance of systems over single short solutions. Why is process and systems really more important than, say, the results?
So I'll take your second question first, which is why a system? Because life is so uncertain. Every few weeks, there'll be some new problem at work, at home. We live in very complicated times right now. The information overload is extensive. Should you have a system of investing in place, then you don't need to devote attention every few weeks or months or every quarter onto what you're going to do with the pool of money which is beginning to accumulate in your savings account. So my problem is, if you don't have a system in place, if you haven't thought through first principles of my own investing attitude, reason, and then portfolio, then you are vulnerable to people who come with these smart deals of saying double, triple, quadruple money. And they are very sharp sellers, and it is very difficult not to believe them. And you realize that you're handing over your money to them. And then, of course, is another round of blame and all that. But if your money is already tied up in things which you have worked through in calmer times with a calm mind, then there is very little which is at stake also. So one, you get your money to work for you all the time without having to put attention to it. Second, there's very little left for it to be vaporized by these sharp deals which they come. And which comes to your first point, is that people want to get rich quick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if there was a free lunch, everybody would take that. There isn't. You're only hearing of stories of people who say they have made the money. We don't know how much they might have lost. And what has happened to a second person might not happen to you. So you've really got to see your own situation. And if that itch is very strong, I always tell the young people, I know it is that time in your life when you really want to do everything. And when if you have 100 rupees to invest, take 10 rupees out for that, to scratch that itch of gambling. With 90, can you make more mature long-term decisions? But just take those 10 rupees and then do buy whatever you want to buy, crypto or day trading, whatever. And if you say that you've got a knack for it and you've made money, every time you make money, salt away some and then, you know, play with a larger amount should you want to. But constantly secure yourself against an implosion of the money that you're risking, and do not ever take leverage. Do not ever, ever, ever leverage your money, because then you're putting at risk all that you have also accumulated. And especially when the structured deals come your way, and they usually come through either a PMS or a banker, they give you these structured deals. Ask them to put down in writing, what is the worst that can happen with this deal? And ask that person to sign his name and date. Okay. So if they cannot, if they can don't want to tell you what's the worst thing in writing, walk away.
Yeah. And talking about deals being sold by people, I think last week you were talking about, you tweeted about an insurance policy, okay, which was sold to a senior citizen, something. So my next question is actually going to be on that, that insurance, health, that's health insurance and life insurance is still very tricky for most of us, you know, choosing the right one and stuff like that. And then we get sold all kinds of products. You tweeted about it. We all know how the industry still is. I would have thought that things would have improved, but unfortunately they haven't. But I'll come to that later. But when it comes to choosing insurance or buying insurance, you know, I mean, you know, you've also said that insurance is among the most basic and most essential financial products for all of us. Okay. So health and life. Few simple rules on which we can make a decision. Obviously, depending on, you know, my age, my requirement. So guys, if you're listening to this, this is, you know, it's going to depend on what is your age and what is your requirement. For example, you know, life insurance for a 25-year-old is very different from life insurance for a 35. So Monica, just a few basic rules for all our listeners that can help them choose a good policy, life and health.
So let's do life first. Sure. Essentially, a life insurance is not an investment product. Be very, very, very certain about that. No matter what the person selling promises that this policy will do, it will give you this much income, it's tax-free. Remember, there are 10 other products in the 80C bucket, which give you the same tax break as life insurance does. PPF is a great long-term product, which is also exempt on taxation. So don't get fooled by this tax-free nature of insurance. There are other products. So the first thing to remember is never bundle insurance with investment. The second thing to understand is not everybody needs life insurance. You need life insurance to protect your family against untimely death of a principal breadwinner of a family. So if somebody dies an untimely death, the family which is depending on that income stream doesn't have it. The purpose of life insurance is to give such a large corpus to that family that they can live off the return of that corpus for the rest of their lives. The thumb rule for this is 10 times of your annual income. So if you're earning 10 lakh a year, you need a life cover of 1 crore. The only policy type which can give this to you cheaply is something called a pure term life cover. It's called a term policy. No agent or bank will ever sell this to you. You can buy it online. You should look for companies whose claims experience is more than 95%. You should fill the form yourself. You should not lie on the form, because should you have an untimely death, the company can refuse the claim because of some information which is wrong. So fill that thing very, very honestly and clearly. So that is about life insurance. An additional point to remember of life insurance, its purpose is to take you till the age of 60, which is your traditional age of retirement. Because remember, by age 60, you've got your retirement corpus ready. So even if you die then, your family has your retirement corpus, right? So the purpose of life insurance is to handhold your family from the time that you are financially vulnerable till the time that you yourself are financially free, which means you've got money that you don't need to go to work to sustain your family. Very rich people don't need life insurance because their families can live off the assets. When very rich people buy life insurance, they are buying it as a means of either bequests or some sort of money management that they're trying to do. It is not the same as a person in his 30s trying to protect his family against an untimely death. That's the life insurance story. The health insurance story is that whether or not you have health insurance from your workplace, it's a good idea to buy your own, because people have job losses, you change jobs, and especially once you retire, then you'll be left without a health insurance policy. health insurance is a very tricky product to buy because of the fine print. And I can only advise you to pick up Let's Talk Money and look at the health insurance chapter, because it's detailed over there what all things you need to know. For instance, there are exclusions in every policy. There are room rent limits, which you need to be careful of. So you might think I have a 5 lakh policy, but if you don't look carefully, you will see that there's a room rent cap at 5,000 rupees. And some of these metropolitan large corporate hospitals have 10,000 rupees, as much as a hotel room somewhere, as their room rent cap, which means that as room rents, but the cap is 5,000. So anything over that is not paid. And all the doctors and compensation medical bills are linked to the room rent. So you might have a policy which is for 5 lakh, but they will only pay, say, 2.5-3 lakh. There are disease waiting periods. There are the whole no claim bonus story is there, that does the company actually, how much do they give? What do they do? So there are a whole lot of things that you need to look at in health insurance in terms of costs, benefits, and claims. So there are three things you need to look for. And cost is not just the premium. There are several other costs. And then what are the benefits of this policy? And what has the company's claims and claims complaints looked like? So it is not an easy decision to make, but you should spend time on it, because it is going to have ramifications for many, many years.
A really important topic. I mean, what can I say? I mean, the value of this is, I mean, God forbid, if anybody has to go through it, is when you're sitting in the hospital and filling in all those papers and you realize, man, I wish this was easier. And then, and it's not like the worst is over, because then you'll get stuff like, this is not passed, this is not approved, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, so folks, just a reminder to you. So Monica's book has like specific chapters on specific topics in this. I wish I could talk about each and every product here in this podcast, but you know, we have a constraint on time. We spoke about equities, we spoke about insurance. I'm going to wrap up this episode with two questions that I get asked the most, Monica. I'm going to ask you that, okay? Because a lot, you know that India's population is relatively young, and a lot of these people, these kids or whatever you want to call them, are coming new into personal finance. So I have two questions here that I get asked the most. One is, where do I start? As in, where do I start to learn about how to manage my money? And the second question, even more important, is who do I trust? As in, let's say you're going to find a financial advisor or you need help. There's all sorts of help out there, from, you know, the YouTube channel to your friendly whatever neighbor to whoever. So two questions for you, Monica. Last questions, where do I start to learn about money? And who do I trust when it comes to advice about money?
So the first question, where do I start, is something that actually I have addressed in the book. So it might sound like a plug for a book, but I mean, there's no other way that I can say it, that the book was written specifically to solve this problem. Because what I found is that there were great books out there on retirement, on stocks, on mutual funds, but no one addressed that entry level, the baby step question as to where do I start. And for young people who are listening, where you start is to make your cash flow system work first. And again, I've said this in the book, and this has proved to be one of the most popular hacks. People are making memes and all on this, is just to have these three accounts. One is your income account. Every rupee which flows to your life falls into this account. You remove what you're going to spend every month into a second bank account, and you label it spend it account. Not a single rupee goes out from any other account. And the third account is called invested account. This is where your savings pool accumulates. And from this invested account, you make all your investments. The purpose of labeling it is so that you don't violate it. We are creatures, we are human beings. We pay a lot of attention on labels, even labels we give each other. So the minute you've labeled your bank account, you're not going to violate its label. And essentially what you're doing here is you're separating your spending from your saving. That's essentially what you're doing. And then you can begin to have choices, that is my saving a residue or is it a target? You can start asking yourself those questions. And your future self will depend on the answers to those questions. So my system, Anupam, leaves a lot of choice in the hands of people. And that I think is the Indian way. That you decide what your life is going to be. I'm not going to tell you whether is your savings a residue or is it a target. You decide. And then from there on, then you start building your first product, which is your emergency fund, because you want to secure yourself. And then you start thinking of medical and life insurances. And then you start investing. Investing in my life comes after I have secured my today. Then I'm going to start thinking about my long-term future. So that is the way that I would imagine a starting out approach to look like. And your question on who to trust, that's one of the most difficult ones to answer. And I wish somebody would compile a list of trustworthy institutions or people. There is a group of fee-only financial planners. They do not sell products. Or if they do, they sell the direct plan in mutual funds. But I think they don't. They only charge a fee for advice. And you get somebody else to execute it. You do it yourself or you get someone else to execute it. So they're taking the monkey out of the story of commissions. Commissions really diverts. It directs the behavior of people selling the products. So there is a list out there. I'm sure if you Google fee-only financial advisors, you will get that list. A good place would be to start there, shortlisting somebody who you might have heard of or some friend has worked with. Talk to at least three people. Anybody who says, begins with the question of how much do you have to invest, walk away, run away, because that's not what good financial planners, advisors ask. They ask more about you, your family, your financial goals, your financial situation, how you feel about risk. They ask you a whole lot of personal questions, just as a doctor would, before they even start talking about investments. So those are some of the things that you can do, Anupam.
Yeah, and folks, we've had a few fee-only planners on our podcast, and like I said, you can just Google them. Patu has a list, and Patu was on our podcast a couple of years ago. That's Free FinCal. Anyway, that's a wrap. Wow. Okay, that's a wrap on this episode of Paisa Paisa. My guest, writer, author, speaker, Monica Harlan. Monica, thank you so much. Really, you know, thank you so much for doing this for our listeners. As always, your book is already a national bestseller. I'm sure that the revised edition is also going to go on, you know, in that same track. And I hope that you have more revised editions as we go forward. But thank you so much for doing this for our listeners.
Thank you, Anupam. Real pleasure to be here. And lots of good luck for many, many, many more good episodes.
Thank you so much, Monica. And now, the great privilege tip of the week. Actually, folks, this entire episode had tons of tips, honestly. So, you know, you can probably make a list out of there. But if, you know, Monica said so many interesting things out there. The one that stood out to me and that I'm going to actually make the great privilege tip of the week is the bank account part. You know, sort your bank accounts. A lot of us don't keep track of what bank account, number of bank accounts that we have. One is opened when, you know, our parents open it for us. One when we get a job, then again, second job, God knows what. So here's your tip of the week, folks. Keep track of all your bank accounts, right? And why you use them, what do you use them for. Also keep track of the minimum balances out there. Sometimes you get levied a fine if the minimum balances go, you know, below a certain level. So there's your tip of the week. Keep track of your bank accounts. And thank you, listeners, for listening to this episode. If you're enjoying this show, please do share it with your friends, family, and people that you know. That would be really helpful for us. You can listen to this show and other interesting shows on the IVM Podcast app or ivmpodcast.com. You can also follow us on our social media. We are IVM Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to reach out to me, I'm your host, Anupam Gupta, B50 on Twitter and B_50 on Instagram. Thank you so much for listening to Paisa Paisa, presented by Cred, the most rewarding credit card bill payments app, and powered by Quantum.
No material on the show should be considered as financial advice. The material on the show is for informational purposes only. Please consult a financial advisor before taking any investment decision.